The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. Are you led by God's Holy Spirit? That isn't something strange or paranormal. For a true Christian, it is a must to be led by God through His Holy Spirit. An absolute must. Let's notice Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Get your Bible and follow along. It means so much more when you read it for yourself right in God's Word. Let's notice Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They're the daughters. They're the children of God. If they are led by the Spirit of God, Christ leads us through the Holy Spirit to go in the right direction in our lives. But how can you know one way or the other? How can you know if you are led by God's Holy Spirit? How can you know if someone else is led by God's Holy Spirit? Did you know you can know the answer to that question? There doesn't have to be any doubt at all. Let's turn to the scripture that makes it plain. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16. Here are the telltale signs of a true Christian being led by God's Holy Spirit. And we're either led by God's Spirit or we aren't. There's no in between. There's no middle ground. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Jesus Christ says, these are his words, Matthew 7, verse 16. Now verse 17. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit, bad fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit or evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 20, here's the answer to the question. How can you know if you're being led by God's Holy Spirit? How can you know if someone else is being led by God's Holy Spirit? Here's the answer, Matthew 7, verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. The results, the actions, the fruits that are born in the individual's life make clear whether or not they're being led by God's Holy Spirit. Well, what are those fruits? The Bible lists every one of them. Let's turn over here to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. We're to live by every word of God, and so that's where we go to get the answers to these tremendously important questions. Go right to God's Word. The Bible is the foundation of all knowledge. It's the truth. The Word of God is absolutely accurate. It's God's mind in print. Look what he says here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us be led by the Spirit. There are 9 fruits listed here. Traits, qualities of character. Fruits that clearly and unmistakably identify every true Christian. Now, in a series of programs lately, if you've been listening, you know that we've been going through the fruits of the Spirit mentioned right here in Galatians chapter 5. We've already covered the first 5 fruits, and so today we've come to the 6th fruit. Fruit number 6, which is goodness. You see it right there in Galatians 5, verse 22. Right after gentleness, the next fruit that is mentioned is goodness. Now, what is that? Can you recognize it when you see it? Goodness? I'm not talking about something that seems good, sounds good, but may not be good. I'm not talking about people who put on a good show and a good front, but inside they're not so good. I'm talking about genuine goodness through and through. In the person, in their actions, in their attitude, in their words. That's what God wants us to have, and that's what God's Holy Spirit will produce in our life in the way of fruits. The fruit of goodness. Let's turn now to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. It's so interesting when we let the Bible lead us, teach us, correct us, encourage us, and instruct us in the ways that we should live. That's God giving us what we need in the way of knowledge, giving us what he expects of us. Right here in the Bible, his word inspired by him. Notice Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is powerful. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says here, and I myself also am persuaded, confident. I am confident of you, my brethren. I am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. You are full of goodness. That's what we want to be. That's what we can be. That's what God's Spirit in us will produce. Now, most people think doing good is enough. Well, it isn't. God wants us to be good as well. On the other hand, some people think being good is enough. That isn't enough either. God wants us to do good. So we must be good and do good and have those qualities and traits deeply embedded right into our character, indelibly stamped right into our innermost being. Then that's the way we think. That's how we are. That's what we do. That's how we will be as a human being if we have God's Holy Spirit. Good instead of evil, which is the antithesis and the opposite of good, evil. But instead of being evil or bad, we will be good. Not goodness that we gin up ourselves. That's just nothing but self-righteousness. But goodness that comes from God through his Holy Spirit, defined by the Bible. Integrity, honesty, dependability, caring and concern, excellence, benevolence, generosity. It shows up in good humor, the quality of our work, which will be good work, the example that we set, which will be good examples in everything, the conduct that we practice, which will be good conduct. In other words, we want to and strive to do the right thing every time. Now, we can't do it on our own. We have to have God's help, and sometimes we stumble and fall and fail and make mistakes. We're human. We repent of that. We change that, and we keep on going, and next time try to avoid that mistake. And next time try to do it right. That's what goodness means. It just means trying to do the right thing every time. The right thing is defined by God, not defined by public opinion or social standards or political jargon or what is popular or based on what people think, but doing the right thing according to God's word, having that kind of goodness that comes from God through his Holy Spirit, the kind of goodness that God has. You know, if you notice in our society today and you notice in the world at large, I think you'll see that goodness is not held in high esteem like it once was. Some people still are good and try to do good and be good, doing the right thing in very high esteem. But most no longer even consider good and goodness as something that should be held in very high positions in all that we do and in all that we are. Viewed with admiration and respect this quality of goodness. That kind of approach and thinking, holding goodness in high esteem, seems to have been replaced by whatever is expedient. Evaluated by situation ethics, it depends on the circumstance and situation, or whatever is convenient. Very few now want to do the right thing, whatever it might cost. Very few now want to actually stand pat on what is good and let the chips fall where they may. They can be maneuvered and manipulated and influenced and compromised and talked out of what otherwise they might want to do through pressure, through enticements, through whatever is acceptable and popular by the current social standards. Christians aren't that way. They never have been that way, and they never will be that way. Not true Christians. True Christians who follow Jesus Christ and who are led by God's Holy Spirit try to do the right thing every time without exception. And no matter what happens as a result of that, they try to keep on doing the right thing and take their lumps for doing so. They want to do good and be good. Whatever that might bring on them, that's still what they want to do and what they want to be, if they're led by God's Spirit. I well remember growing up in a large family, and almost every day, virtually every day, my mother and father would say, "You be a good boy." Well, that stuck with me. "You be a good boy." And then later on they'd ask me, "Have you been a good boy today?" when I was a little bitty fellow. And I grew up with that being a part of the way I thought. And I'll tell you, sometimes I wasn't a good boy, and I didn't do good things. But that became one of my goals. I want to do the right thing, and I want to be a good individual with God's help and by His standards. And I have found over the years, and you have too if you've tried to be that way, and a lot of you have heard that from your parents as well, and you will agree with me. If your parents required that of you, being good parents and making sure you understood you need to be a good girl or a good boy, and then follow up on that and require it of you, you'll agree with me on this point. Goodness works. Evil does not in the long run. And that is an immutable law. You do the right thing, it's going to take you in the right direction, and you're going to end up in the right place every time. You do the wrong thing, the expedient thing, the convenient thing, the easy thing, the popular thing, the wrong thing, the bad thing, and it's going to take you in the wrong direction, and you're going to end up in the wrong place. That is a law, and that's the way it works every single time. Let's notice Romans chapter 11 while we're here in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. Look at what God's word says here. Romans 11 and verse 22. "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God." God is good. He is great. He is full of goodness. He is full of mercy. He is full of excellence and generosity. But He's very severe when it comes to sin. He hates evil. He hates sin. He knows what sin does. It destroys. It hurts. It's painful. It creates chaos and misery and failure and death. So He's very severe when it comes to dealing with sin. But He's merciful when He sees repentance. Verse 22, Romans 11. "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail." Severity, but toward you, goodness. If you continue in His goodness, otherwise you also shall be cut off. Not only do we have to be good and try to be good and try to do good, we've got to continue in that. That's what God looks for. It makes all the difference with Him. And He will never compromise between what is good and what is evil. Never. There's a line there that He will never breach. It won't bend. It won't budge. What's good is what He wants. What's evil is what He doesn't want. Because good brings happiness. Evil brings misery. Good brings blessings. Evil brings punishment and curses. So He is good, and He wants us to be. Now repeat, not good the way the world defines it, not getting all puffed up in vain, full of boasting and bragging about how good we are. That's just vanity. That's not good. Good the way God has it. Goodness the way God practices goodness, which is doing the right thing, which is full of mercy and kindness and excellence and generosity and help and caring and concern, which involves quality, which means whatever we do, we try to do it right. Wherever we are, we're going to try to make the right choices. You know as well as I do, you'd rather be around people that are good people than bad people. If you had a choice between the neighbors you have, you want good neighbors or bad neighbors? When you choose your friends, you want to have good friends or bad friends, fickle friends, friends that betray you. You want a good marriage. You want a good husband, a good wife, good children, good parents. You want a good job, a good boss, a good employee. A society filled with good people doing good things is a very solid, successful, and happy society to live in. Much different to a society that's full of evil and full of evildoers. People who just live to do bad things, evil things, mean things, hateful things, destructive and painful things. And there are some people like that. You don't want to be around them, do you? They might start off seeming harmless and sounding good, but they set you up and later on smash you down because they're not good and they're not interested in doing goodness. Those are the people you want to stay away from and avoid, and make sure you never are like that yourself. And that's something I'm determined to do. Make sure I never fall into that category either. Well, let's notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The Bible is so full of such wonderful knowledge. It's like a gold mine. You just can't exhaust it. Veins of gold that you can go in and just keep digging nuggets out of every day right from God's Word. Notice here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11. Look at what Paul said here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we want to live our life. That's the kind of neighbor we want to be, the kind of husband or wife we want to be. That's the kind of worker we want to be or businessman we want to be. And certainly that's the kind of Christian that God has called us to be. That God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. It's his goodness in us. He's that way 100% good through and through. And he wants us to be striving to be that way. That's what we reach for every day in our daily lives, in business dealings, in the way we drive, work, play, laugh, in how we enjoy fun and recreation, in our relationships in our home and with our family and with our neighbors and friends. We try to have good health and good health practices, live a good lifestyle, and spiritually, especially, cultivate good character, qualities of excellence according to the Bible, stacking up our decisions in life by the Ten Commandments of loving God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and loving our neighbor as ourself. The blessings, the rewards, the peace of mind, the joy and the happiness and the thrills that kind of living will bring is beyond description. And part of that kind of living is being determined to do it right, to be good, to spread goodness around wherever we go. It is trying to elevate the quality and the nature of whatever we do to the level of excellence, not settling for mediocrity, just getting by, slapping things together and calling it good when it really isn't good. But really doing quality work as a carpenter, as a plumber, as a painter, as a cook, as a seamstress, as a driver, as a business person, in the office, wherever we are, farming, it doesn't matter. The whole idea is let's do this right. Let's aim for excellence. Let's reach higher for quality and solid, good results. Not just get it done and go on and let the chips flip and chip and fall here and there and everywhere. Cut the tree down right. Mow the yard right. Take care of the animals in a good way. Build the fence straight and true. Develop the personality that is respectful to others. It doesn't matter what we try to do without getting all tied in knots and full of paranoia. We just try to go ahead and do it a little bit better each time. Add a little more excellence to it. Be a little bit better this day than we were yesterday. With God's help, aim higher toward the level of goodness. Being good and doing good. Did you know when you do that, you're being led by God's Holy Spirit? Because that's one of the vital fruits that God's Spirit will produce in our lives. That's the way God is. That's the way He wants us to be. In a true Christian's life, there's no room for shoddiness and second-rate performances. What we want to do is settle for nothing short of being top-notch and doing what we do with excellence of character above all, never blurring the lines between good and bad, never doing that. God doesn't, and He won't tolerate it if we do. Let's just read about that right over here in Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. A very, very important verse in the Bible to let us see the mind of God in action. Look at what He says here. This is talking about the character that He wants us to have, the right kind of attitude and mind and approach and work ethic and play ethic. It says here in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." They blur everything until it becomes kind of a middle ground of hodgepodge nothingness. Instead of having clean, pure, right, sharp, bright, wonderful good over here, and dirty, filthy, vile, stinky, ugly, wrong over here, and never letting the two meet, and there's an impenetrable wall between that can't be breached. More and more that wall is being broken down, and the evil is flowing in with the good, and the good is flowing in with the bad, and then it all becomes a big mishmash of evil is what it becomes. You mix good with evil, it ends up being evil. You take a jug of pure, clean, wonderful, wholesome spring water, and you take some dirty, filthy water. It only has to be a little cupful, even a spoonful, and you throw it into that jug of clean water. What you have then is dirty water. You wouldn't want to drink it, would you? Let's say you have a glass of pure, clean, wholesome spring water right here, and you have a cup of dirty, filthy, vile fluid over here. You would drink the clean water, no problem. You pour the dirty, vile liquid into that clean water. You're not going to want to drink it then. It might even stir up to where it's still clear, but now it's polluted, it's corrupted, and it's bad. That's what happens when the lines get blurred between good and evil. It then becomes evil. You know, you read in Genesis about the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When you really study that thoroughly, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is actually a tree of evil. It ends up being the tree of death as opposed to the tree of life. You can't mix the two. If you blur the lines between good and evil, you then are in a situation where you are facing evil. The distance between good and evil is as far as the east is from the west. They are miles and miles apart. They have no similarities between them. They don't fit. They won't blend, not in God's eyes. If you want to ruin character, rip up character, and destroy character, start letting evil creep in. It can be just a little bit. The Bible says a little leaven leavens a whole lump. Just a little bit here, just a little bit there. Compromise a little bit over here on the language you use. And compromise a little bit over there in what you might watch on television or in a movie. And then open up the lines a little bit more to the music you listen to. And allow yourself a little bit of attitude to lose your temper and start mistreating other people. And while you're driving down the road, get fed up by the way somebody's driving and take matters in your own hands to get it fixed and end up in a car crash or road rage. Doesn't take much to trigger what otherwise is a wonderful and good situation and turning it into a horribly bad situation because you blurred the lines between good and evil. Then you'll end up doing evil and being evil. So God does not want us to do that. When you study the fruits of the Spirit, you don't see evil mentioned in there anywhere. You don't see bad mentioned in there anywhere. You don't want a tree where the fruit is good, but then there's some bad fruit mixed in there. You want a tree that only has good fruit. How would you like it if you walked out in your front yard and here's a wonderful apple tree? Oh, well, there's a good apple. Good. Oh, boy, there's a bad apple there and a wormy apple there and a bad one over there. And so you pick the apples and put them in a bushel and set them on the back porch. The next day you go out there and the bad apples are starting to ruin the good apples. And first thing you know, the whole basket is nothing but bad apples. You can take a bowl of good apples and put a bad apple in the middle of them. And you give it enough time, that bad apple will turn all the good apples bad. You cannot take a bowl of bad apples and put a good apple in the middle of them and turn all the bad apples into good. You just have to keep the good apple away from the bad apples. Otherwise, everything will go bad. Well, that's the way it is with character. That's the way it is with Christian living. And that's the way it is with God's Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You don't let bad, evil, shoddiness and ugliness in amongst them at all. You don't blur the lines. You make sure that you weed out the bad and replace it with the good. And that's what it's saying here in Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, be truthful. If it's good, it's good, and call it that. And if it's bad, it's bad. And stay away from it. Don't water down or dilute goodness of character and conduct. Don't blend it with bad. Don't slip up and compromise and breach the line between good and evil. This is a very vital principle to Christian living, and it underlines the importance of this wonderful and important sixth fruit of the Holy Spirit of God, and that is goodness. Let's make sure, with God's help, we cultivate that fruit in our lives as Christians, that fruit of goodness. With God's help, trying to do good, trying to be good, trying to live life, going in the direction of goodness in order to produce more and more of that fruit for others' benefit and ours, and that will certainly please God, and He will bless us, and He will guide and lead us. Because we've forsaken and turned our back on evil and bad things and bad actions. And now we're walking in newness of life, which means we are engaging and embracing goodness and the right way, the way of God, led by His Holy Spirit and bearing the fruits of that Spirit and sharing the fruits of that Spirit with everyone, including this wonderful fruit of goodness. Goodness in all we do, and goodness in all we try to be. God will help us do that, but we've got to want that. So let's ask God to help us, and then let's make sure that we're trying day in and day out to do what we've been taught from a little child on up. You be good, and if we are trying to be good and do good, God will help us. And that's the fruit that will emerge in our Christian lives, that fruit of the Spirit called goodness. I want to invite you to request our free CDs on the breakdown of authority and train up a child. You know, the Bible says you train up a child in the way he should go and he won't depart from it. We can train up our children in the way of goodness. These CDs are free of charge. There's no cost to you. The breakdown of authority and train up a child. Just call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Also, please request our magazine, Straightforward. This is a beautiful magazine full of many, many articles covering many, many subjects. Just ask for Straightforward magazine. There's no cost to you. There's no obligation on your part. Just call 1-800-581-1317 or go to our website, straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.